Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, October 31st. Happy Halloween to everybody. Today we have 12 vessels on our Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, northeast wind. So we still have that northeast wind pattern, that east wind pattern going on, which accelerates fire danger, as you may have heard in the story I played earlier. 5 to 10 knots today from the northeast, becoming north as conditions shift a bit. 10 to 15 knots with gusts to 20 in the afternoon. So it's going to be breezy, especially on the seashore today. Wind waves from the north, 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart. West swells, 3 feet at 12 seconds. And so you see the difference between the locally generated wind waves from our local winds and the swells coming in from the west, which are coming in from way further out to sea, as far away as Japan sometimes. That energy travels all the way across the ocean. So 3 feet high at 12 seconds apart. So that means that if you were sitting out there in a boat, you could probably count 12 seconds between those wave crests, which is kind of a long, gentle swell. And today we're going to be talking more about long line fishing, based on a comment that I got on a Facebook post about someone being really concerned about something called long line fishing. So this interview is really about something that most of us can't see, which is how we get our seafood. Where does it come from? How is it harvested from the ocean? And it turns out that in international waters, outside the U.S. territorial limits and outside other countries' limits, there's a lot of illegal fishing going on in parts of the world. But in U.S. waters, our fishing is quite regulated. And so we're going to hear more from Amanda Gladix all about how what's called long line fishing is handled here. It's called demersal long line fishing. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 2 inbounders, 4 in our Astoria anchorage, and 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. The Aji Marina is our first arrival in the river. Arriving from South Korea, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She's going to get there late this evening. So our first inbounder is not until about 11:30 this evening. She's going to stop in the Astoria anchorage, but she ultimately will head up river to pick up wheat, as are many of our ships this time of year. And the Ultra Esterhazy is arriving from Sacramento, California, headed for Vancouver. Could be copper concentrate on board being picked up by that ship, but she's going to probably pass Astoria a little bit after midnight tonight and arrive in Vancouver by about 6:30 in the morning on Friday. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Wise Young headed to Kalama today to pick up wheat. She's going to leave the anchorage at about noontime and probably get to Kalama at about 5 p.m. The Genco Provence is in the Astoria anchorage awaiting orders, along with the Pictor and the Chola Virtue. They're all wheat ships, and they're all awaiting their orders to head upriver to a berth to pick up cargo. So probably what they're waiting for is for a berth to open up. And our outbounders, the Carnival Imagination is a cruise ship coming into the river not for passengers, but probably for maintenance and repairs. She's headed for the Swan Island Shipyard in Portland. So she'll pass Astoria maybe around. I mean, she will probably, actually looks like she is headed out bound today. Sorry about that. So she's leaving the shipyard at Swan Island around noontime. So you may see a cruise ship headed outbound at about 6 p.m. today past Astoria, headed toward the sea. The Alina is departing from Longview, probably soda ash on board there, maybe leaving around 1 p.m., maybe passing Astoria outbound around 4:30. And the Medi Newport is leaving Longview with wheat on board, leaving about 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound at about 5:30. The ATB, Articulated Tug and Barge Commitment, which came in earlier this week, is now leaving Portland. Her cargo is refined petroleum, leaving about 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound, then about maybe 11 o'clock tonight. The Asian Glory is leaving Portland. Hyundai's on board there, so she's one of those high-sided car carriers leaving around 6 p.m. So around midnight, you'll see her running lights going by. And the Glico Felusa is leaving Kalama with wheat on board around 6:30, passing Astoria outbound around 1:30 p.m. And when you see that Carnival Imagination cruise ship coming into the river, she came in, I think, last week, probably some kind of maintenance and repairs. Every couple of years, cruise ships need to be fixed up and spruced up and kind of tuned up, and so that may have been what she was doing there. Well, let's hear more about longline fishing from marine ecologist Amanda Gladix. She works for Oregon Sea Grant. She's based here in Astoria with the OSU Extension Service. Here's more about that kind of fishing.
Longlining for sablefish, because of my work on bycatch production for seabirds, I went on 7 different vessels. So I got to see how the setting process and how the fishing process works. And it's really impressive. So the structure of a long line, a demersal long line like we have on the West Coast, is one main rope with lots of small, they're called ganyons, but it's just a skinnier piece of rope that has a hook attached to it. And fishermen will store those on their vessel coiled in a metal tub. And then to set the gear, they'll have an anchor that they set off first with a marker buoys and a flagpole so that they can find the end of the line. And then once that anchor is set, they'll begin spooling out the line that has the hooks on it. It's an impressive amount of labor to get that gear ready to set. So each of those hooks in West Coast fisheries are generally set by hand. So they're baiting, they're putting a piece of bait on every single one of those hooks before they can set their gear. And they'll set, you know, the number of hooks that they use in a set varies quite a lot by the vessel, but you know, it's probably a few thousand hooks. So they're spending, you know, several hours baiting up the gear to get ready to set. So they'll set the gear and then they'll let it fish. So it takes a little while for that gear to sink to the bottom. They're out fishing in pretty deep waters. So kind of on the continental shelf slope as it goes out into very deep water. So it takes almost half hour, 45 minutes for that gear to get to the bottom. So they'll usually let it sit for somewhere between 4 to 8 hours. Depends on the boat, depends on their trip.
So then just so people understand, they're not towing it. Nope. They're just dropping it like a crab pot in our minds.
Yeah.
For those of us who are not at sea, they're leaving it there and then coming back to it.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So they're gonna set that whole line of hooks along a contour line or on just a straight line. They're going to set it there and leave it to fish. And then they'll come back and find one of the ends of the line and pull on that float and pull up the anchor and begin hauling back that gear. And in that situation, the fish come on one at a time. And so they're able to, you know, bring the catch on board and really care for it in a very careful way.
And that was Amanda Gladix, marine ecologist for OSU. She works for Oregon Sea Grant, is based at the OSU Extension Service office here in Astoria. You may have met her if you've gone on one of the classic fishery tours, which I have, which are fascinating. So a little bit about what she was talking about, that demersal long lining is actually dropping the line to the bottom of the ocean. There's another type of towed long lining where a line is towed behind boats off in the coastal waters off Hawaii, but even that is monitored very carefully for bycatch. So they fish in areas where there are no sea turtles, and they have mechanisms to prevent seabirds from attacking from trying to get the fish off the line. So there's a lot of sophisticated monitoring going on and mindful fishing, from what I can tell from that great interview with Amanda. Thanks so much for listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Have a great day.